LGB. 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 They say
LGB
everywhere
I go.
LGB.
What it means?
I don't know.
LGB.
Whatever it is.
LGB.
Kamala, help me.
Please.
Please.
Alrighty then.
LGB.
That let's go, Brandon.
Right?
LGB.
This means let's go, Brandon.
No.
LGB.
Sounds like let's go, Brandon.
I guess.
LGB.
Alright.
Let's go, Brandon.
I am Cornholio.
Chant.
LGB.
Right wing and left wing.
LGB.
Go, you know the thing.
LGB.
If you don't sing,
get back.
LGB.
And you claim black.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
FJB.
Let's go,
Brandon.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. How you doing, Al?
Great, Vito. Good to see you. How was your weekend?
It was good, thanks. Nice. It was a nice long weekend, a relaxing one. How about yours?
Oh, the same. Watched a lot of football and ate a lot of food.
Yeah. Hey, happy Hanukkah to you and your family, and happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish listeners and our friends from Israel. Happy Hanukkah. Hope you all are celebrating. Starts the next, goes on to December 6th right now. So it started last night at sundown?
Yep.
November 28th, and it goes through December 6th.
Yep, 8 days signifying the Israelis kicking ass and taking names.
That's right. That's right. Not bad, huh? Huh?
Nope. No.
Do you like
can't
your
get
candles
along
every day?
We sure as hell can. We sure can fight in war when we have to. The peace is a bit of a problem, but when it comes to war, after World War II, we kind of woke up. So,
well, the peace actually wouldn't be a problem if, in fact, the Islamic jihadists, the Palestinian terrorists, would come to the table. But since they have so much hate in their heart and can't see beyond their hate and jihad. You know, they don't want peace with Israel. You know, it was pretty clear that President Trump understood that. And finally, when the Palestinian jihadists were pushed aside, when they refused to negotiate, guess what? Peace was coming to the Middle East, and countries that you wouldn't think were on board with wanting peace with Israel and also mm-hmm. trade, which was very, very important because the Israelis do have a lot to offer, and unfortunately, the myopic hate of Islam does infect those extreme countries. So I should say those fundamental countries, not extreme. It's fundamentalism.
Yeah, well, it's so sad over there, Vito, because Santa Claus had to make a business trip over to Bethlehem before Christmas. It's coming up, as you know, very soon. And as soon as he got into Bethlehem airspace, Hamas started firing rockets at Santa, and Mrs. Claus came along, and he had the reindeer with him as well. And luckily, the Israelis fired the Iron Dome, took care of the Palestinian rockets, and the trip was a success. It didn't really make the news, but very interesting that the Israelis saved Christmas this year.
As they do every year.
Santa won't really be going back to Bethlehem.
It's unfortunate, you know, that there can't be peace there, and it's certainly not on the part of Israel. Israel would like nothing more to have peace with its neighbors, and Jordan found out the hard way, Egypt did, and unfortunately the Palestinians are, you know, they're continued to be funded by the anti-Israelites and the anti-Semitics that are you know, in or around, including Iran, the United Nations, and
mm-hmm.
you know, all those.
Now, that would have been a great game for rivalry football week this weekend. The Israelis versus the Palestinians on the gridiron. Now, that would have been that would have been something to watch, but maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah, well, Israel U versus Hamas U.
Yeah.
But they say F you, so I think it'll never happen. But we can dream, can't we? We can dream.
We certainly can. Dream the impossible dream. But there really was a big college football rivalry this past weekend, and you had a couple of upsets, and let me see here. You've had the University of Michigan hosted number 2 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, and University of Michigan defeated the Ohio State Buckeyes, and actually they manhandled the Buckeyes the entire game, which meant that the University of Michigan now is in the Big 12 championship game next weekend. And
yep.
I'll tell you, I'm sure you watched the game, but it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing how Michigan just absolutely dominated that game from the very first snap of the game. And it was truly, it was fun to watch if you're a Michigan fan or not a Ohio State fan.
Oh, yeah, Jim Harbaugh. Got the big one, so congratulations to Jim Harbaugh and
0-8
team.
And also want to congratulate Holzer's Minnesota Golden Gophers for defeating Wisconsin, which meant that going in through the back door or the side door is, let's see. That is the Iowa Hawkeye fight song, and I can tell you that I'll tell you that Hank Jones is absolutely ecstatic. Hank Jones and company are ecstatic about Michigan beating Ohio State, but they're absolutely stunned by the fact that Minnesota defeated Wisconsin, and that was an upset, and which meant that Wisconsin got kicked out of the Big 12 championship game, and Iowa got in. And so next Saturday it will be Iowa versus Michigan State, and you know that Hank Jones will be glued to the TV. He'll be talking about the game and the summary of rivalry weekend on Wednesday. So he better give a big shout out and thank you to Hozier and the Minnesota Golden Gophers, because without them beating Wisconsin, they would have been watching probably banking on a bowl game. Probably the Coles happy Christmas bowl game.
We talked about that last week. The odds of that happening, slim to none.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota was just up and down this year, but it was a game that counted, and they played well, so congratulations. And then Alabama overcame four overtimes to beat rival Auburn to probably remain in the top four for the national championship. However, Alabama now will face Georgia in the SEC championship game. And I'll tell you, I think if Alabama loses to Georgia, their hopes of capturing a national championship, playing for a national championship, are over. They'll have two losses, which means that either someone like Oklahoma State or Notre Dame, who beat Stanford, USC, I think it was. Was it Stanford? On Saturday.
Wins.
Yeah. And they're 11-1. So, and then
I
I'm
think
sorry
Alabama's
about
going to get smoked. Georgia.
By all rights, it looks that way, and I think with a freshman quarterback, I think they are as well. I don't think this quarterback is ready, but he'll mature enough next year to actually, lead Alabama. But I think he's just a little bit too young this year. He makes a lot of mistakes, and just when you think that they're going to put games away, but he's a freshman, so you got to give him credit.
Bryce Young came back at the very end, which is still keeping him in the Heisman Trophy. He's still in the on-deck circle. Let's put it that way. Next week will determine whether he's a legitimate contender or not. So there's a lot riding on next week's game.
What's that?
There's a lot riding on the game next week. So
Hey. National championship implications. I mean, I think Oklahoma State gets in if Alabama loses, so it should be good. And of course, the Iowa Hawkeye fans will tune in on Wednesday to Hank Jones, and they're going to be talking football, not much politics. So,
yeah, all six of them. sorry, Hank. Oh. That wasn't very nice.
No, he's got a good Hawkeye following, it's going to be interesting because, if Alabama loses, there's just so much that could happen. And then, of course, you've got Oklahoma. They lost their coach. Their coach signed with University of South Carolina, University of Southern California, USC. So Lincoln Riley goes to he's leaving Oklahoma, but why would anybody go to Oklahoma? It's it's the middle of nowhere. But anyways, no offense, Bailey. Set it for him. songwriter Stephen Sondheim passed away last week at the age of 91. And what a great career! And he's set to have. He was one of the most influential theater composers and lyricists in the last half of the 20th century, which included some great music from like West Side Story and also some great Christmas music. And Stephen Sondheim's got some really good credits to him. And if you've not seen West Side Story, which I can't believe anybody that's over 50 hasn't seen West Side Story, between the Jets and the Sharks and Maria, the song Maria, and Natalie Wood. It was absolutely beautiful. And was that young, but cool. Yeah. Good show.
Mm-hmm.
Good show team.
Yep. The under 30 crowd has no clue what you're talking about.
That's right.
West Side what?
West Side who? It's a great one.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
Google
West Side
it, you.
Story.
Yeah, ignorant millennials.
All right, I want to say a belated happy Thanksgiving to Sue from New Mexico. Sue's on the switchboard. Good evening, Sue. Nice to see you. Happy Thanksgiving. Bigfoot, our big patriot, go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, a great blog spot. I guess it's getting cold up north. I got to tell you, Friday's blog spot, and I like when he does this. He's on his blog spot from time to time. They put some pictures and he put some explanations. And this one was the Buchanan Swinging Bridge. This is what he writes. On the way back from Virginia earlier today, I stopped in the town of Buchanan to see its swinging bridge, which extends over the James River. The bridge was originally built in 1851. It was burned in 1864 by the Confederate troops trying to prevent Union troops from crossing. Oops, what the hell was that? The bridge was originally built in 1851, burned in 1864. Confederate troops tried to prevent the Union from crossing the river, rebuilt after the Civil War, washed out in a flood of 1877, replaced by a covered bridge after the flood, replaced by a steel bridge in 1897, and finally rebuilt in its present form in 1938. The south end of it connects to the modern road bridge on which U.S. Route 11 passes. The first picture shows the entire length of the bridge from its western side and a few tall stalks of grass in the foreground. So it's a really cool bridge, and I'm telling you, I really like what he does. It's pretty cool. So and it's a great blog spot. Got to tell you. So congratulations there a great post from Bigfoot. Really like what you put in there, and it's a great blog spot. So if you really want to take a read of some international news, national news, you want to get a flavor of news stories, this is the one to read. So thanks, Big. And a load of duck from Northwest and Golf Dogs HOV Radio and a big fat soft underbelly OBFSU. Good evening, gentlemen, and hello to everybody in the chat room and on the podcasts. This next story it always gets me because I lost a dozen Pro V1s to you, Al. Ghislaine Maxwell's trial began today. It's the United States versus Ghislaine Maxwell. The judge ordered media banned from courtroom, and I wonder why the media was banned. It's not like it's a Kyle Rittenhouse case. Could it be that members of the Democrat Communist Party will be named in opening presentation and or during the trial? Such Democrat communists like Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Chief Justice Roberts, and maybe even Adam Schiff for brains. As a reminder, the defendant entered a plea of not guilty to the superseding indictment. The court announced its ruling that the defendant will be incarcerated pending trial. So Ghislaine Maxwell has been incarcerated since the plea of not guilty. And really surprisingly, she's remained alive, much to my surprise.
She's not suicided herself yet. But for those who don't know, Ghislaine Maxwell is she's in court for a sex trafficking trial. It's a lurid case, a quarter of a century in the making. It began in the style of a storybook with a hideous twist. This is how the prosecutors, this is how they want to tell you. This is how they're setting it up for Ghislaine. She is a madam. She supposedly, allegedly groomed girls, young girls, for high-profile Johns. And the ringleader, Jeffrey Epstein, he managed to suicide himself in hospital. And I'm sorry, while he was under the watchful eye of the prison system,
dead.
Mm-hmm. So now it seems they are taking the Ghislaine Maxwell defense team is making her out to be a victim. They're describing her as Jane. Jane is a 14-year-old girl who met a man and woman at a camp. And this is Assistant U.S. Attorney Laura Pomerantz told jurors, what Jane didn't know then is that a man and woman were predators, later using the phrase dangerous predators. And the prosecutors identified the man as Jeffrey Epstein. and in steady and soothing tones built up a dramatic anticipation for the woman. It was that woman targeting young girls for sexual abuse. It was the defendant, Jocelyn Maxwell, the prosecutor said. But the defense came in and said that she was a Svengali of Jeffrey Epstein, and she was under his spell. And you know why? Because
why?
Dead men tell no tales. And that's a quote from the Clinton family.
That's a good quote there, Al.
Well, Hillary is right. Bill, too.
Well, I think Bill was actually in company with Ghislaine Maxwell for a while. And,
that's right.
Yeah. And apparently he's got 27 flights on Lolita Express. And you also have some frequenting of the Epstein Island by Chief Justice Roberts. And Adam Schiff was also said to be on some Lolita Express flights, which kind of makes sense with Adam Schiff for brains. Because he used House of Representatives slush fund to settle a sexual harassment suit with a male intern. So, you have to know that Adam Schiff. What's that?
I always thought Adam Schiff was gay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he is. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he's a freak. He's a weirdo. And he is an extremist, and he really doesn't deserve to be in Congress because he's nothing but a liar as well. He's a liar and cheat. Well, then again, that's what makes him a good Democrat. So,
true.
Don't have any love lost for that guy. He's the guy that Nancy Pelosi turns to start smearing mud. And it's truly amazing. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who has a sordid past himself. And here's a guy who settles a sexual harassment suit with a male intern. And he goes after President Trump. And he was the enforcer to go after President Trump, even with all the lies and the fabricated stories. So I hope that I'll tell you what, I don't care whose name's on it. And if it turns out to be true that Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Roberts, Schiff, and anybody else who was a frequent of abusing girls and abusing young women and using the island for, sordid purposes, let their names be exposed, these pieces of garbage. Because, this government is totally out of control, and the arrogance of these people that place themselves above the law, they deserve everything that they get once they're exposed. And the media is doing a damn good job in suppressing news. And the left wing in this country believe that they are above the law, including Joe Biden, his crackhead son Hunter, and you've got everybody else that's in line down the Democrat Communist Party who are nothing but anti-American scumbags. And if this trial of Ghislaine Maxwell does reveal anything, I hope Bill Clinton's name is at the top. I don't wish anybody ill, but these bastards, including Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, these scumbag anti-Americans, they need to feel the wrath of the truth finally coming out and hitting them exactly where it needs to. They need to get them the hell out of this country, put them in jail, put them in an orange jumpsuit, and let's get rid of these scumbags. Let's take this country back.
Well, you may get your wish, because it's rumored that at the mansion where all of a lot of these swore ways with young underage women took place, with a lot of these heavy names that you were talking about, supposedly these were filmed. Because why would they not film them? Because that is their leverage in case something like this should happen. That's why Jeffrey Epstein's better off dead, because dead men don't talk. But there still has to be video somewhere that's going to nail all these people, and we just have to hope that the prosecutor does their job and does it well, because these people are scum.
Yeah, and still there that fire that occurred on the island. a year ago, you got to wonder, or a couple of years back, that suspicious fire, you know, what damage did it cause, and were they able to get most of the, or does Ghislaine Maxwell have backups, have copies of things that that does expose this corruption and this sordid corruption by these holier than thou corrupt politicians like Bill Rotten Clinton. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yep, the case is the four M's: memory, manipulation, media, and money, and then S for sex, underage sex. This case has it all, Vito.
Boy, you covered that one. That's really interesting, huh? Some other news: the Biden-Harris propaganda machine is in full operation. The Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, weighed in with his lies and his propaganda. He uttered the following statement: families who buy electric vehicles never have to worry about gas prices again. I mean, he actually said that. I mean, this administration is absolutely shameless. And I love Colonel Tony Schaefer's reply to Pete Buttigieg's dumb comment. Colonel Schaefer stated, "Dangerous propaganda from Secretary Pete. Gas prices are tied to all energy prices, and 80% of electricity that you still pay for comes from fossil fuel. This is not incompetence. This is pure evil manipulation to enrich green tech companies and steal from the middle class." And he nailed it. Colonel Schaefer nailed it. You know, this is not incompetence. This is pure evil manipulation. It's exactly what this administration is doing. And, you know, this whole thing about manipulation and evil manipulation, it is the bumbling Biden administration which has caused these gas prices to soar. 45, 55, 70% rise in gas prices. And the narrative from this lying propaganda machine known as the Biden-Harris propaganda machine is to blame consumption, is to blame demand. And that is an absolute lie. That is a lie. It is this green scheme con job by Biden-Harris propaganda machine that has caused the increase in gas. And now you have bumbling Biden is conditioning Americans to believe that OPEC has to increase their production in order for gas prices to come down, when in fact it was then President Trump just a year ago who was making sure that America was becoming less dependent upon foreign sources of oil, OPEC, Iran, Russia, and Venezuela, and America would be in energy independent to the point where we were actually selling oil and gas to other countries. As a result, we will be becoming the biggest exporters. As a result, the price of crude oil a barrel had plummeted. But thanks to the green scam that was put in place and re-entered by bumbling Biden and communist Kamala, we have now seen gas prices soar. We have seen the price of a barrel of oil skyrocket to over $73 a barrel. We have seen gas prices go to the average of about $3.27 a gallon, unless you're in California where it's $4.99, even over $5 a gallon of gas. And the minions who buy into the bubbling Biden lies. When brain dead Biden just flat out lies, he sends out his minions like Granholm, who's another buffoon that he put in place to shamelessly lie to the American people. And now Pete Buttigieg is now lying to the American people. Dangerous propaganda from at Secretary Pete: gas prices are tied to all energy prices, and 80% of all electricity that you still pay for comes from fossil fuel. And Colonel Schaefer absolutely nailed it. This is not incompetence. It is pure evil manipulation, and that is exactly what this is. It is evil manipulation on the part of the bumbling Biden communist Kamala regime. So now, under the latest reckless spending spree out of Congress, families would have a $12,500 discount in transportation costs as an incentive to buy electric vehicles. Now, I don't know about you, Al, $12,500 discount. So you look at a Chevy Volt that is $47,000. It is now $35,000. That's your discount. Wow, the government's going to give you a discount. I don't know how many families can go out and buy a brand new car and spend $35,000, $45,000, $55,000 for a brand new vehicle at this point. But this administration is making sure that Americans feel the pain at the pump. They make sure that you feel the pain so that the green scam scheme can go into effect and really bite Americans at the pocketbook and at the pump. Now, a family of four or five actually gets screwed on that $12,500 discount more than a family of two or three, because there's inequity there. I mean, you're going to give away $12,500 to a family of two or three, but it goes nowhere for a family of four or five. Now, why aren't they indexing this this free money, this taxpayer-funded scam? Instead, you're going to get $12,500. So I guess they're expecting Americans to buy bicycles, to start bicycling like the Chinese do, like in rural America. This is another thing that Pete Buttcheeks had stated. If you live in rural America, this is yet another incentive for you to buy an electric vehicle. And I got to thinking about that. Now, when I lived in a rural part of America, I had to drive 20 miles to a Home Depot. Now, God forbid I wanted to go to a national food chain, a chain restaurant, excuse me, like a P.F. Chang's to take my girlfriend out for, for dinner. So if I would have went to Home Depot that day and I drove 20 miles one way and 20 miles back, that's 40 miles without making any stops whatsoever. I have my electric car. What would you say the juice on it is between 75 and 90 miles? You can get in today's vehicles, you can get the 90 miles out of an electric car?
A little more. You're probably looking at close to 175 to 200. If you get a Tesla, you may get up to 350, but a Tesla is very expensive.
Oh, okay. That's not bad then. So really, if you live in a remote area, you're driving 20 miles to a Home Depot. I was driving 12 miles to a supermarket. The nearest gas station was 4 miles away. Oh, sorry, 3 miles away. You know what? If you want to go to, let's say, a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks, that was going to be a 12-mile drive. So all of this noise about, well, if you live in a remote area, you know, electric car is your way to go. No, it's not. No, it's not.
No.
That is the dumbest rationale that these people can use, you know, to try to sell you on their scam. So you've got the Biden-Harris regime driving up gas prices, making it unaffordable, and then you've got this Jayapala who says that, you know, their concern is not about higher gas prices, it's about cutting the cost for families. Well, what the hell do you think families are impacted by? Then you got Pete Buttcheeks coming out saying, well, you know, if you live in remote areas, you know, rural parts of America, it'll be beneficial for you to get electric cars. No, it won't. No, it won't.
Well, what he's not telling you, Vito, is that, okay, you got your car, but now you got to fill it up. And you run errands, you go to work, you come back, you take the kids, you go to school, you pick them up, you take them to soccer, you take them to baseball, football, whatever. The average family can put anywhere from 150 to 200 miles on a car per day. Well, now, and when the weather gets cold, these electric cars suck up energy more. If you're on the highway, they suck up energy even faster. But the real problem is charging them up. Where are these electric stations that can do it? Are there fast chargers? And even fast chargers, you're sitting there for 2 hours to fill up, which is the technology has not caught up with where Buttigieg and Biden want this to go. They are pushing this market that's government-driven rather than market-driven. And not to say these cars are bad. These cars are great. But then you got to ask yourself, hey, where does the electricity come from?
They're going to put a window on your car, Al.
Like the beanie on the top of my cap.
Yeah. Yeah, Cecil and Beanie, no, right?
Yeah. No, seriously, where does electricity come from primarily?
Fossil fuel.
Fossil fuels, mainly natural gas. So now, let's just say everybody gets their electric car, and they're all filling their cars up every night so they can have it charged up. Hopefully it'll charge up by the time they start their day in the morning. So now there's going to be a huge demand for electricity. Well, natural gas can't handle this new load and this new demand for electricity. So what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to open coal-fired plants to produce the electricity needed for the electric cars. So now there's going to be more pollution back in the air.
Exactly.
It's also stupid. Yeah.
Well, although, you know, in all fairness to America's ingenuity, we have some of the cleanest coal-fired plants in the world. We have actually the cleanest coal-fired plants in the world. But here's a comment. Mm-hmm. This goes to your comment about Biden and butt cheeks on how they actually put the cart before the horse. So this is what Pete Buttcheeks stated on DNC MSNBC show with Jonathan something or other. I don't know. Watch. Oh, Jonathan Capehart. Okay. So here's what Buttcheeks said. If we can make the electric vehicle less expensive for everybody, more people can take advantage and we'll be selling more American made EVs, which means in time they'll become less expensive to make and to buy for everybody. Okay, so if you actually read what Pete Buttcheeks said, if we can make electric vehicles less expensive, so right now electric vehicles are expensive. Right now you have the American family in a quandary, and thanks to the chaos created by the Biden-Harris regime, they have created a chaos. They have created a narrative now, or a financial strain by having gas prices increase by 50% in 10 months. Heating oil is increased by over 54% up north. So you've got Buttcheeks saying if we can make electric vehicles less expensive for everybody. So they have not made electric vehicles less expensive. They have not made anything less expensive when it comes to electric vehicles. So they're banking on, what, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? In the meantime, we're watching gas prices escalate. We have the American people now shelling more and more out of their family budget. You have the possibility of breaking the American people as a result of this knee-jerk reaction to the communists in D.C. in making gas unaffordable, and the cost of electric cars are unaffordable. So this is another irresponsible, reckless, and feckless, disastrous policy by the communist regime of Biden-Harris. And he's got his flunkies out there like Buttigieg, and he's got Jennifer Granholm, who can't even answer, as the Secretary of Energy, she can't answer what the U.S. consumption is of gas per day of oil. Can't, you know, didn't know it was, what, 2 million barrels a day. I mean, it's just this is obscene what we're seeing today out of this feckless administration. This is the guy who was said to get 81 million votes out of the lowest number of counties ever for a presidential candidate to receive and win. He even got less. He got less counties than Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, the great black dope, and yet. By a quarter, and he got more votes than any other person ever got for president of the United States. And this is just, it's insane. And what we're watching this hapless individual do to America, to the economy, to energy, to the American family, to the rule of law is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing what we are watching these people do, this communist Marxist regime do in America today. I never thought I'd ever see the day when we would ever see so many anti-Americans who are so bent on dismantling our constitutional republic and intentionally tanking the American economy. They're not happy until they abridge all 27 amendments of the Bill of Rights. They've already abridged the First Amendment. They're on their way to abridging the entire Second Amendment. They've done the Third Amendment. They looked at the Fourth Amendment. They're denying people's rights under the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And nobody says anything. And we have a willing media, and I've said this before, the media is in the back pocket of the Democrat Communist Party, the Democrat National Communist Party. They are dictating the narrative. They are suppressing the stories. They are spiking the stories. We have a corrupt, just feckless individual who is not qualified to be dog catcher of the United States, let alone president of the United States. And you know, for this feckless fraud to release 50 million barrels of oil from the National Strategic Petroleum Reserve is plain stupid. It is like wearing a mask to combat the China virus. It is like erecting a chain link fence to stop mosquitoes from carrying the China virus or malaria. It is absolutely useless. But thank goodness that President Trump did shore up the nation's strategic petroleum reserves, because when you have a dimwit who is an anti-American, such as Joe Biden is, you know, at least we had some sort of reserve. But if this guy continues on with these hapless policies, he's gonna put America's national security at even a deeper risk, a deeper jeopardy, because of his inept policies that he's following through with whomever is calling the shots in Washington, D.C.
Well, yeah, without question, because you said earlier, just like you said earlier, President Trump was a net surplus of oil and gas for the United States. Now we are the opposite. But here's the thing with this electric car that gets even more nefarious, because Hunter Biden had a deal with the China on cobalt, and the cobalt mines involve slaves and human rights violations. Because it's not just about batteries for electric vehicles. It's really all batteries, and the Obama-Biden administration allowed this nefarious deal to happen. And the Biden family began gifting China with anything it wanted, and it continues now into the Biden presidency, because Congo and the cobalt mines employ slaves, child slaves. So let's begin there, because the president's son, Hunter Biden, was part owner of a venture involved in a $3.8 billion purchase by a Chinese conglomerate of one of the world's largest cobalt deposits. And that metal is a key ingredient in batteries for electric vehicles. But it goes even deeper, because the role of this Chinese mine purchase was not a major focus, but it's taken on new relevance because the Biden administration warned this year that China might use its growing dominance of cobalt to disrupt America's retooling of its auto industry to make the electric vehicles, because the metal is among several key ingredients in electric car batteries that China is going to have control over. Jeez. Does that make you ill?
It does. It really does. It's sickening.
In a nutshell, the Bidens worked out this deal to give China access to cobalt, and we need the cobalt to be able to retool our auto industry to make these electric cars. You need the cobalt and the molybdenum, and also, which is also in these mines, it's a heavy metal ingredient. And they're also China. They gave them free rights, basically unencumbered, to go into Afghanistan after we left to rape that country for all of its rare earth metals. This is like a national security risk waiting to happen for whomever the next president is going to be. And the media is not reporting this at all. And I thank Trevor Loudon for putting this story up. And it was a story written by Denise Simon from Founders Code is the source. Blew my mind when I read it. Anybody there?
Hello?
Oh, Al?
I'm back.
Ah, sorry. I guess we had some dead air. Uh-oh. Sorry about that, guys. Oops. Looks like we had a little bit of a, we had the Chinese pull the switch on us. I guess they didn't like the idea of us talking about China and the Biden crime family and the association of the Biden crime family. Here we go again, Al. One more
yep.
time, we have the Biden crime family, Hunter Biden, and the Chinese. First it was, you know, the Ukrainians with Burisma. And of course, you immediately had Nancy Pelosi jump in with Adam Schiff for brains, and they went out and they went after President Trump in order to take the pressure off and the focus off of Joe Biden and his diarrhea of the mouth with getting a special prosecutor fired. So we should have known the fix was in.
Yeah, and the Republicans, where the hell are they? They should be calling special counsels now. They don't need to build the case first. You call the special counsel, you put the charges out there, and you let these bastards defend them. And then you call for every piece of paper and discovery now, and you say, I want this, I want this, I want to know everything about this cobalt deal. And then you start searching. But the Republicans, either they're in on it or else they have enough dirt on them to say, if you go down this road, we're gonna expose you too. So screw the Republican Party, because I think they're corrupted as well. Mitch McConnell and all those establishment assholes.
Yeah, you know what? This is where we have lost. This is where Donald Trump was so good at, okay? And this is what opened eyes, at least opened my eyes. You know, I will never vote for, and I'm saying this right now, I will never, ever vote for a Democrat for any office, whether it's dog catcher, whether it's sanitation, nothing, never. That I let alone a congressman or a senator or a governor as a Democrat for governor or senator, U.S. I mean, the corruption's bad. Now,
up and down,
having said that,
no D.
There are Republicans in name only, and that's just it. The Republican Party is in name only. There are a few outliers, and of course, the one outlier that comes to mind immediately or two is Lorraine Bobbitt Lauren Bobbitt and Marjorie Greene. You know, you've got Jim, what's his name, and Matt Gaetz. They've not been consistent.
Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz.
Yeah. Now, Jim Jordan, you know, he might be a little bit more of a Washington seasoned individual, but there aren't individuals anymore that you can sit there and say, this is the Republican Party. There's almost no difference between the two. The Republican Party, when they got into power and it was led by Paul Ryan in the House, the Democrats said, you know, we demand that you do it this way while they're in the minority. And if you don't do it this way, you're not bipartisan. And then when the Democrats get into power, it's their way or no way, and the Republicans suddenly act tough. You know, Kevin McCarthy acts tough. Where was he acting tough when President Trump was president of the United States and Nancy Pelosi was pulling her shenanigans and the entire Democrat Party was in on trying to undermine Donald Trump's presidency. And now we know as time goes by, now we know that the charge of Russian collusion was fiction. We know it was made up. We know who was behind it, too. We know that it was Hillary Rotten Clinton, and her entire campaign and the Obama-Biden regime was involved in this. They went after a political opponent. Now, it was expedient to impeach Trump for going after his political opponent when, in fact, Joe Biden was not his political opponent. Joe Biden hadn't even declared that he was running for president of the United States. The only thing that spurred President Trump going after Joe Biden was because Biden had diarrhea of the mouth. Biden bragged about his Ukrainian connection and what he did to get the special prosecutor fired in the Burisma. Biden bragged about that, and that's what got Biden, okay? That's what got Biden on the list, because he bragged about his Ukraine connection.
Former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, who's tipped to run for the White House in 2020, has been fending off allegations of sexual misconduct. That swirl of negative press has taken attention away from another potentially damaging revelation. Ukraine's former top prosecutor, speaking to political website The Hill, accuses Biden of pressuring Kiev into sacking him. Caleb Maupin digs deeper.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is caught up in a bit of a scandal. His name has been floated for the last year or so as a possible Democratic challenger to Donald Trump in the 2020 election. But now everyone is talking about his habit of getting frisky with both women and girls in public.
He leans down, smells my hair, and then plants this big...
That wasn't the actual clip that I was looking for. But so Biden has diarrhea of the mouth. And then, of course, the Democrat Party goes into damage control and immediately goes after President Trump. So now we have another situation brewing here. What is Biden's relationship to China? And now we have what? We've got Hunter Biden's name surfacing again when it comes to China, and it comes to cobalt, it comes to lithium batteries, it comes to energy. And where is Washington, D.C.? Forget about the political parties. Okay, where are the politicians on either side of the aisle who are speaking out against this corruption? The big guy is Joe Biden. The big guy was lining his own pockets. But hey, now you've got Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Greene. Now, we know these two individuals are having an impact because Nancy Pelosi is taking them off of committees. And then, of course, you have the latest controversy that surfaced between Ilhan Omar and Lauren Boebert. And if you all remember the exchange that we played last week on the House floor, Boebert came out on the House floor swinging. Now, she gave a half-ass apology on Twitter, but she really didn't apologize on Twitter. But the issue is that Ilhan Omar is upset with Representative Boebert, whose comments on the House floor, and once again, the deceptive and dishonest Islamic member of Congress is lying, and in good dishonest fashion, she seeks to deceive the infidel with her victim reply. Now, incestuous Ilhan Omar tweeted out, saying I am a suicide bomber is no laughing matter, at GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, at Speaker Pelosi, need to take appropriate action, normalizing this bigotry not only endangers my life, but the lives of all Muslims. Anti-Muslim bigotry has no place in Congress, the Minnesota Democrat tweeted on Friday. Now, before I play Representative Boebert's comments that spawned the victim Omar lying reply, let me point out that jihad does not mean that you are a suicide bomber. And again, it's a flat-out lie, and Ilhan Omar knows she's lying, but she's a good Muslim, and she knows that she's lying. If you look at page 599 in Reliance of the Traveler, Umdat Salik, which is Islamic law codified by the Quran, which three Quranic verses are used to define jihad, page 599, in Reliance of the Traveler, defines jihad as to war against non-Muslims. Now, nowhere in Islamic law is jihad defined as being a suicide bomber or an Islamic jihad terrorist bomber. So Ilhan Omar is flat out lying. She is a liar. That has been her entire public life. She has been a liar. She came here and she cheated and defrauded the United States government. Ilhan Omar is a liar. She's trying to play the victim card, and she probably had the tweet orchestrated, created by the con men of CARE. So she's a cheat and she's flat out dishonest. Now, page 599, Reliance of the Traveler, defines jihad is to war against non-Muslims. And it's codified by three Quranic verses. Quran 2:216 is used to codify the definition of jihad. Fighting has been enjoined upon you, but it is hateful to you. Perhaps you hate a thing, and that's good for you, and perhaps you love a thing, and it's bad for you, and Allah knows while you know not. Okay? Fighting is enjoined upon you. So you are to fight. Okay? That is the definition that codifies jihad. Quran chapter 489. But if they turn away, then seize them and kill them wherever you find them. That's how Islamic scholars, mullahs, and Islamic clerics codify the definition of jihad. Quran chapter 936, and fight against the disbelievers collectively as they fight against you, and know that Allah is with the righteous. And again, three Quranic verses are used to define jihad. It is not being a suicide bomber. Representative Boebert did not call Ilhan Omar by name and did not call her a suicide bomber. You see, this is how they twist things. This is how dishonest Ilhan Omar is. Matter of fact, here is Representative Boebert in her own words on what she said about a member of the jihad squad.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Democrat policies are so pathetic and have done so poorly that the left has nothing else to do but troll the internet looking for ways to get offended and then try to target members and strip them of their committees. This is a dumb waste of the House's time. But since the Speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The jihad squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists. A Democrat chairwoman.
Okay, so here is Representative Boebert, who said, discussing members' inappropriate actions. And again, since Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is sanitizing, you know, these sordid members of the Democrat Communist Party, including Ilhan Omar, Representative Boebert brought it out. The jihad squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. And here you have a situation where Ilhan Omar has again cheated the system. She was found guilty of violating campaign finance laws. She has violated campaign finance laws. She did marry her brother. And aside from that, aside from Representative Boebert, who does not name names, all she said was a jihad squad member from Minnesota paid her husband and not her brother's husband, we want to thank the incestuous Ilhan Omar for finally confirming that Ilhan Omar did indeed marry her brother, because she is not outraged by the statement that she married her brother. She's outraged by a false statement that paints all Muslims as jihad terrorists, as suicide bombers, which is not what Representative Boebert said. There is nowhere in that statement that where she calls a Muslim a suicide bomber. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It's etymologically derived from the word mujahada. But one thing is now confirmed. Ilhan Omar did indeed marry her brother, and she knowingly defrauded the U.S. government. Representative Barber did not name incestuous Ilhan, but Omar took exception to the use of the term jihad, but not to marrying her brother, and not her husband, but her brother husband, which finally confirms what we all knew. Ilhan Omar deceived the United States government. She broke the law, and she also broke U.S. immigration laws. Ilhan Omar should be impeached from Congress and never allowed to run for public office again. Instead, Nancy Pelosi excuses Ilhan Omar's language because Ilhan Omar is a good, anti-constitutional, destructive Democrat. It's no longer about the individual Americans serving we the people in Congress. It's now about the systematic, discontinued dismantling of our constitutional republic and our rule of law. Ilhan Omar is a liar. Ilhan Omar is a racist. Ilhan Omar is an anti-Semite. And Ilhan Omar is an anti-American. Now, Representative Boebert said it right. She was calling out this anti-Americanism. This is not about religion. Now, I think it's quite possible, though, that Representative Boebert does not have command of the English language and therefore should not be removed from any committee assignments. Plus, she didn't name any names. And for the incestuous Ilhan Omar to make the assumptions that she made also shows that she is a thin-skinned anti-American. Now, Al, I know that Boebert reached out to incestuous Ilhan Omar, but I watched a Twitter video from Representative Boebert, and she really didn't apologize. She's not going to apologize for challenging anti-Americans, and she certainly is not going to apologize for calling out members of Congress who should be removed from committees for anti-American, for their anti-Semitic views, as Ilhan Omar has shown that propensity to have. Not to mention defrauding the U.S. federal government. That's the other thing that just absolutely gets me. The fact is that she intentionally commits campaign fraud. She defrauds the U.S. government by marrying her brother, which is a violation of immigration laws. And then she has the audacity to run for Congress, and now she's playing the victim. And it's like good Muslims do. You play the victim, you get the press, and you make up things along the way, and nobody challenges you. And that's really the sad part of it is, because there are Muslims in America who just want to live their lives freely. They don't want a government on their back. They don't want to have to make any turns because they're raising their kids in such a manner to believe in Islamic values, but not worry about killing their children for marrying a non-Muslim. They want to own their own business in the United States. They want to be free to choose where they go without having any type of ISIS people following them or in fear of losing their lives. And yet you've got these shameless victimhood status people like Ilhan Omar, who's so quick to break laws, but then when she's caught with her pants down or her hijab off, right away she's a victim. Saying I am a suicide bomber is no laughing matter. She was never called a suicide bomber. And ladies and gentlemen, you go to Reliance of the Traveler, turn to page 599, and it's very simple. It's one sentence. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It does not say anything about being a suicide bomber. And if you want to take exception, I take total exception to the lies and misinformation by this dishonest and deceptive member of the United States Congress. She should not be in Congress. She's nothing but an anti-Semite and a liar. She doesn't deserve to get taxpayer money. And it's shameful. It is absolutely shameful. And the Republicans need to stand pat. And if it really, people like Boebert shouldn't back down from these people, from these lies. Shouldn't back down from it. And that's the problem we have in Congress. We have too few people willing to stand up for the United States Constitution, willing to stand up for the American people.
Well, those, your definition for jihad coming out of Umdat al-Salik or Reliance of the Traveler is accepted from Al-Azhar University. It is the gospel. It cannot be debated in the Muslim world. That comes, Al-Azhar University is like the Harvard of Muslim universities, and they are authorities on Islam. And that is their definition of what jihad is to war against other non-Muslims. Short version. And that's all,
you know,
that Boebert has to go with.
And Belly puts a good point in there, and this just comes to mind. Okay, I agree with your comments on Omar Vito. The GOP have always backed down with her. None have hammered her. Gutless GOP. You know, when something happens on the other side of the aisle, identified as the Democrat Party, has any member of the United States House of Representatives, Democrat, has Nancy Pelosi apologized for the shooting of Steve Scalise? And the shooting of the 8 members of the United States House of Representatives who were doing nothing but playing baseball, practicing on a baseball field. Not one person in the Democrat Party hierarchy apologized to Steve Scalise or the Republicans for the shooting. The insightful bitterness that the Democrat Party has fostered, okay, over the years, with their race baiting and their hate, led to somebody going out and shooting at members of the United States House of Representatives, specifically the Republicans. So right now, Representative Boebert has to apologize to incestuous Ilhan Omar for comments that she made, but she didn't specifically say Ilhan Omar, but then Ilhan Omar goes out and lies about what was said of her, calling her a suicide bomber, which in fact was not called, okay? And it's always the Republicans who are made to apologize because, you know, they take the high road. And the scumbag left-wingers sit there and they get away with literally murder, Seth Rich. They literally get away with murder, Seth Rich. So, you know, here you have the Republican Party who likes to be on the high road. Bullshit. And that's what made Donald Trump appealing to the American people. Because while he ran under the Republican side, he didn't have time for the nonsense of both parties. The issue is working for the American people. Work for the American people. Make America great again. Stop having America dependent upon others, foreign sources of oil, foreign sources of energy, foreign sources of trade and manufacturing. America has the ability to do it themselves, herself. And we certainly did have that. And he was welcoming anybody from any political aisle, any political side to join making this country great again. But it's become such a divisive issue, and this whole party identity has to be, you have to be Democrat, you know, you're going to be pro-abortion, and you're going to be anti-Trump, and you're going to be, pro-green, and you're going to go ahead and put the cart before the horse, and you're going to implement all kinds of green energy. And in the meantime, the American people pay dearly. And yet we have such ingenuity that I'm confident in the next 150 years, America would have devised an alternative fuel source. In the meantime, we were paying $1.80 a gallon. In South Carolina, $1.60 a gallon for gasoline. America was energy independent. You have American families were able to fill up their heating fuel oil. So now during the winter up here in the north, we don't have to pay 54%, 60% more for gasoline, for heating fuel oil, excuse me. But under this current regime, who is making America pay again, it doesn't matter if you're right wing or left wing. If you're part of that government party system, that one party rule, you know,
you apologize if you're a Republican, you become a victim if you're a Democrat. And it's exactly what happened with Ancestress Ilhan Omar. She is now the victim. She's an anti-Semite who attacked Jewish people in America. She attacked J Street in America as being the funding source. Remember, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And then she had the audacity to say that some people may have done something on 9/11/2001. That is just a bitter, hateful woman. Some people done something. And the comment of care supported this radical statement. And then you had Ancestress Ilhan Omar go after Israel. Goes after Israel on a frequent basis. Part of the BDS squad. Anti-Israel squad. Falsely accuses of Israel being an occupying state. Absolutely a lie. And there's no consequences for her actions. And then Speaker Nancy Pelosi says, Ilhan Omar doesn't have command of the English language. Again, excusing this radical anti-Semite, anti-American with her hateful statements. Chronically. And then she finally gets called out. And she lies about what was said of her. Lies, flat out lies. Why? Because she knows that the American people don't know Islamic law. But you all do. You all listening do. Go to Reliance of the Traveler, page 599. And you will see exactly what it says about jihad. A member of the jihad squad. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It says nothing about being a suicide bomber. And that's how disingenuous Ilhan Omar is. That's how deceptive and dishonest this member of Congress truly is. She is not a victim. She is a hateful, she incites hate. She is a bitter woman. She is a bitter anti-American, makes her a very good Democrat, and the Muslim Brotherhood couldn't be prouder of Ilhan Omar for the dawah that she continues to spew to the American people. I'm sure she'll get another award from the Comment of Care, that's for sure.
Care put out in their latest newsletter they're going after Boebert for her insightful words.
Insightful words. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Islamophobia.
Ah, well, you know what? The insightful words. You know, they set up this whole the boards differently now, and I don't like the hand, but. We have a hand up in the, and you know what? Yeah, that's who it is. It is the Minnesota Golden Gopher who helps push the Minnesota Golden Gophers across the finish line to beat Wisconsin and give Hank Jones a much needed Hawkeye win. How you doing, Holger? Happy Thanksgiving.
Well. Hey, Holger, believe me, the last thing that anybody from Minnesota wants to do is to help the Iowa Hawkeyes. but the Wisconsin game is all for the Paul Bunyan axe, okay?
All right.
And that's what we fought for, and it was a good week last week. We beat the Packers, and then the Gophers beat the Badgers, so it was... It was a sad day for Wisconsin. Too bad. but you know, you guys, you know, I try to resist calling into the show, and then you get, you know, then you always push my buttons. You know, first of all, you start talking about this Ilhan Omar. You know, it just I had to just call in and just I had responded to one of her tweets, and when you were talking about the. Campaign finance, you know, graft that she's working and all that, and and I think Boebert actually, what did she say that she gave her other husband, a million, was it $1 million?
Uh huh. Yes, her. Let's see. I have the whole quote right here. The GI Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists.
Yeah. So just think about that. She paid her husband $1 million in campaign funds. Well, when I heard that, I remembered this tweet that I had responded to by Omar like about a week ago or whatever. And this is what was happening was there were people locally in Minnesota that were pushing back a little bit on Omar and saying that she didn't represent her entire district. So in other words, they brought up some people in the primaries during the primary campaign and the actual primary election thing that did better in more diverse areas of her district and stuff. So she took offense to that. Of course, she takes offense to any kind of criticism. But this is what she put in her response to all that. Here's her tweet. She says, "Their desperate narrative that we don't have support or don't represent voters of all backgrounds is trying and inaccurate. They ran a black moderate candidate against us and outspent us 4-1, but still lost." So I ask you, we've got a no-name person of color running against Ilhan Omar in the primary, who probably raised about $22,000, and she, but that person outspent Omar 4-1. So where did the money go for Omar's campaign? Show me the money, mama.
Let's see. The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. Should we read that again? But maybe it'll start to resonate, you know?
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, didn't Charlie Rangel even get nailed for buying like a condo in the Bahamas or something with campaign funds?
I was wrong with that. I was chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and I used that money sparingly as an investment, you know? What are you talking about, you people from Minnesota who think that they know everything? I just used that money for investment purposes.
Love the best Charlie Rangel impersonation on record. But you know, your bottom line is she just admitted that she didn't spend any money on her campaign. She just it's in black and white. Do a screenshot of the tweet. She just admitted that she got outspent by some woman that runs a real estate office in Minneapolis.
And she expended $1 million.
But all those people, you know, from all over the country that sent over $2 million in to make sure she got reelected, you know, I don't know. I might want to know what happened to my money. I mean, what's her husband driving nowadays?
Well, you know, and that's just it. While we laugh about it, we sit here and people sit here and say, how did Harry Reid go from amassing a $3 million net worth to amassing over a $91 million estate, making on the average of $147,000 a year for the 26 years he was in Congress? It just doesn't add up, because 26 times 147,000, you know, comes out to something like, you know, $14 million. So how did this guy, you know, absolutely go from $3 million to $93 million? How does it happen? And now we know how it happens. You have incestuous Ilhan Omar. She divorces her brother. Well, actually, she didn't, because then it would be a record. But she marries this guy who is in the political business, and now this guy has access to her campaign finance and charges her, and she spends over $1 million of her campaign finance. How much of that is actual, you know, how much would go into advertising for her to run a campaign against a, would you say, a no-name person of color who ran against her? What would she spend, $1,600?
Yeah, exactly.
So what happened to the other $999,942?
Yeah, so.
Bought a Tesla.
The fact of the matter is these, you know, I've said it many times that these people in Congress, you know, both Democrats and Republicans, have no fear. They have no fear of we the people. You know, they basically don't even understand, you know, those first three words. And they've got no fear of the people. And when that happens, you know, not only do they vote the opposite of the way we want them to, but we see what you just talked about. We see them all of a sudden say, well, you know, I got no fear of these people, so I might as well start making some real coin while I'm sitting up here in power. And then you give them an inch, they take a mile, so then all of a sudden it's like, okay, so, you know, I stole a shit pot full of my campaign fund financing, you know, funded a mansion for me and the hubby. Let's see, what else can I do? Well, you know, since there's no backlash at all against me because I'm a female and I'm a Muslim and people feel sorry for me, I think I'll just do my best to see if I can get, you know, a bunch of these people thrown out of the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Get them taken off of committees. I mean, we sit here and we, like, you know, scratch our heads and go like, well, what are they thinking with these mandates and stuff? The fact is, the matter is, if you give your kid $50,000 on Friday night and say, you know, we don't really care when you come home, you know, he might not be back at 10 o'clock on Friday night. I mean, these people absolutely are pushing everything to the absolute limit.
Yes, exactly.
Well, what she's saying, Holdridge, is that she's untouchable. That's the message she's sending to the Republicans. You come after me, I'll come after you. I'll get you kicked off of every committee that you're on, because Nancy Pelosi's not going to say a word. There's going to be, I can steal $1 million and it'll become public, and nobody's going to lift a finger to charge me for it. That's the message that she's sending, I believe, to the Republicans.
Well, this is the message I think they're sending is this: is Ilhan Omar can threaten and humiliate Jewish people from her little pulpit,
right?
But you can't attack her for doing that. But when Boebert mentions anything about jihad, then she can be attacked. That's the message.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, quite frankly, that's the thing that everybody has to, you know, it's so obvious, is that when Ilhan Omar made all of the Israeli and Jewish accusations and anti-Semite comments, when that all happened, we didn't see anybody. We saw a couple of representatives express some concerns. Well, we sent a message over and all that kind of stuff. But everybody sat on their hands.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When the shoe's on the other foot, they go for the jugular. Look at the guy from Arizona. That, what's his name? Gosar? The guy got laid up, got gutted out like a deer for going after AOC.
Yes.
So, I mean, bottom line is the leftists in Congress are doing exactly to their rivals, you know, supposed rivals in Congress, as they do to the American people. They've told us, sit down and shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear from you people. And by the way, if you ever come to D.C. again, we're going to do a January 6th imprisonment on your asses. So you better sit down and shut the fuck up. And that's what they do to these guys that, that criticize. A guy criticizes AOC, he gets stripped of everything. He gets censored and so forth. Omar gets lambasted by this woman from Colorado. Now they want all of her committee assignments and so forth. I mean, the threat is real. If you speak out against the cabal, you're dead meat.
And the cabal in Washington, D.C. right now is the Democrat Communist Party. And here's the comment of care. Now, just listen to this. And if you replace the word Boebert for Ilhan Omar, you know, where was the comment of care when Ilhan Omar was making her anti-Semitic statements, huh? Like, enough is enough, accusing one of the first American Muslim women elected to Congress of being un-American and sympathizing with terrorists is a disgusting new low for Representative Boebert. Oh, well, the first American Muslim woman elected to Congress was denigrating Jews and making anti-Semitic remarks. It's a new low for Ilhan Omar. Democrat leaders of Congress, starting with a Speaker Nancy Pelosi, must condemn the anti-Semitism and bigotry and hate that, and demand that Ilhan Omar immediately and clearly publicly apologize, even if she doesn't have command of the English language. If she once again refuses to do so, Speaker Pelosi and Leader Hoyer should move to censure her. Failure to do so would signal an anti-American and anti-Semitism is an acceptable form of bigotry in the halls of Congress. So there, that was the comment of care statement. Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. That was Republican leaders. Oh, I must have. I had the wrong copy. Sorry. It'll never happen. To your point, Holger, it will never happen. And really, for Nancy Pelosi to tolerate, you know, the anti-Semitism, the anti-Israeli smear, and the pro-Palestinian attacks, terrorist attacks on Israel is unconscionable. I mean, Israel is our true ally in the Middle East, has been by our side and has supported America. And yet for the Speaker of the House to act in this fashion and to condone this anti-Israel, anti-Semitic behavior by Ilhan Omar and Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib is unconscionable. It's unconscionable. Oh. And now Ilhan Omar is the victim. She is the victim. Kumbaya,
she got the Benjamin.
Kumbaya. She got the Benjamin.
And Pelosi knows that they can use her as, you know, as the jihadi that she is, because there is no repercussion. I mean, it's impossible for her to lose an election, considering the district she comes from in Minnesota. I mean, you could take Ronald Reagan and wrap him up with, you know, a little Donald Trump and mix in some Abe Lincoln, and that candidate was still get beat by 70 points by Omar in the district she lives in. Somebody running for governor in Michigan as Bucky the Buckeye would have as much chance as somebody going against Omar. So I mean, it's a double whammy. She can absolutely say or do anything she wants.
But Holger, if Ilhan Omar's campaign is spending $1 million to retain that seat, who can compete with that money, right? Because she's spending $1 million for that House seat, right? Is that because her husband, her campaign husband, her brother husband, got $1 million in campaign funds. So
right.
she's So you're saying Ilhan Omar is spending $1 million. Is that what's causing her to retain that seat? So if she raises another million and then her campaign husband gets this money, that's just powerful money, right? Or wait a minute. Did you say the other person, the no-name person of color, spent $2,200 and outspent her by four times?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Now, where's that $1 million going? I'm confused.
That was the first thing I asked when I called was, show me the money.
Yeah.
I
want to
see where the
money
went. And apparently people
that
give her money don't care if she spends it, you know, on TV ads or if she spends it on, you know, new jewelry. They don't seem to care.
Yeah.
I would care if I gave a candidate $500 and found out that he spent it on a new shotgun, I'd be a little pissed off.
Well, plus it's a little bit illegal. You can't do that.
Well,
but
yeah.
That's beside the point. I'm not even.
You can't stuff the ballot box either, but, you know.
You can't?
To stop.
Oh.
And there's no media. The media is silent. The Republicans are silent. They're doing exactly what they should be doing.
Ilhan Omar gets elected to the Congress, okay? What's the first committee they put her on?
The Foreign Affairs Committee.
Is there a more controversial appointment than that? I mean, is there any other committee that would draw as much fire on her as that?
No.
I mean, people could make the argument that she shouldn't even have clearance for what's discussed on that committee.
That's correct.
But they did it on purpose. They sat there and they said, okay, she's got absolutely zero chance of ever being defeated in an election, so she's guaranteed re-election for as long as she wants. And we got her protected because she's a Muslim, and she's a woman, and she's black, and she's an immigrant. So let's put her on the Foreign Affairs Committee. It's so in your face, you know?
Well, here are the fruits of that happening. It just came out today with the temporary protected status. This just came from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. As of November 29th, today, all these applicants are eligible for temporary immigration status under one of the current designations, filing form, blah, blah, blah. But get a load of these countries. Somalia is now on the list. Temporary immigration status. Yemen, temporary immigration status. Venezuela, temporary immigration status. Syria, temporary immigration status. Nicaragua, temporary immigration status. In Honduras and El Salvador, where all of these herds of illegal aliens are crossing over the border to rush our border, are now all eligible for temporary immigration status. This is brand new today. You will not hear this anywhere else. Maybe tomorrow you will, but this is big because a lot of these countries, President Trump took off this list for obvious reasons. They're broken, terrorist sponsors, dangerous.
Yep.
That is what Ilhan Omar has done. That's part of her payback, I suppose, why they didn't touch her. I'm sure she's got her fingers all over this one.
That'll just create a really nice pipeline of al-Shabaab right directly into America.
Bingo.
Al-Qaeda. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
You remember the Seinfeld episode when Jerry puts his foot in his mouth, but when he makes fun of the old lady and he says who would go from a pony country to a non-pony country? You know?
You gotta, you know, she's a little girl over here, and she's got a pony. Why would she want to go to America where we don't, they don't have any ponies for her? You know, so my question to Omar would be, why would a Muslim go from a Muslim country to a non-Muslim country?
Well, that's a great question, because we have a lot of them coming over here, these Afghan refugees. Remember, we were the only ones, we were the ones who were saying, well, all these Afghan refugees have not been vetted. Some of them are dangerous. Well, we've got our first case in San Francisco, a former Afghan interpreter for U.S. Special Forces who had been shot several times in country. He came over here and he was wielding a knife and shot dead by policemen while screaming Allahu Akbar. I shit you not. This has happened today. This is just reported brand new news. You won't hear about this anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see a judge someday when one of the Muslim complainants comes in and is suing her place of employment because they won't let, you know, they've got a health and safety regulation that doesn't allow them to wear head covers. You know, and she says, well, that's part of my religion, and I'm just, someday I'd just like to see the judge say, well, you came from a Muslim country to a non-Muslim country. What do you expect? You came,
take that
you came from a hijab-wearing country to a non-hijab-wearing country. Wake up.
Wake up. Hello.
All right, boys. Thanks for letting me call in.
Hey, anytime,
Holger.
Hey,
great call as always.
Nice to talk to you, man.
See you later.
All right, bye.
So Al, you listed
you listed
some countries now where the bumbling Biden administration now is allowing temporary visas, and. Let me see. Yemen, Venezuela, Syria, Libya, and Somalia. Now, the reason why Yemen, Venezuela, Syria, and Libya were on the list, were part of the seven countries under President Trump was because there was no stable form of government to possibly vet any people coming from these countries. And the reason for that that concern was national security. Now, I understand that this administration has an open border policy and is allowing anybody and everybody coming in, infected, unvaccinated, illegal aliens, and now we're going to be funding these people and financially supporting them. But see, this is the slap in the face that this administration And I keep saying that, you know, there's people that are pulling Biden's strings. There is no reason whatsoever right now to have Yemen, Venezuela, Syria, Libya, and even Somalia to allow entry. And it's not it's not a Muslim thing. It has to do with national security and the ability to properly vet the aliens that are seeking to migrate. Now, what the Islamists have proven is that people coming from those countries, including Afghanistan, have no intention of assimilating into America. They have no intention of adopting our laws. It is Dar al-Harb. It is the ability to migrate to a non-Muslim country and then make demands. And those demands are contrary to what our U.S. Constitution stands for. And in the end is Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. And that's why we're seeing such mass migration. And I don't know what part of that is not understood. Even with the globalists who despise the United States of America, even with the globalists who despise our constitutional republic, you would think that they have some sort of patriotism and or possibly some loyalty to the very country that has afforded them the peace and the individual liberty that they are experiencing today, that no other country affords them. and to allow unvetted migrants to come into the United States of America from Yemen, Venezuela, Syria, Libya, and Somalia with no stable form of government is irresponsible, it is reckless, and it is un-American. It is a national security threat. And really, a Biden-Harris administration has placed America's national security in jeopardy on a daily basis. And it's really, really sad, but it's absolutely troubling that you have members of Congress like Nancy Pelosi and old man Hoyer who sit there with their thumbs up their respective asses doing nothing. And they support this type of anti-Americanism. They support this type of globalism. And in the meantime, it's the American people who are paying dearly. Not only are we paying dearly with these feckless and fraudulent policies like the green scam, we're paying dearly with the infusion and invasion of illegal aliens into America. And then these people like Biden, bumbling Biden, has the audacity to blame unvaccinated Americans for the rise of the China virus, when in fact his open border policy has produced over 2 million invasions, 2 million illegal aliens invading America who are unvaccinated and infected. And it is that irresponsible and reckless policy that has caused spikes in certain parts of the state, certain parts of the country. And it's really sickening what we are seeing today from a man who has been in Congress his entire public life, who has sucked off the American taxpayer teat for 50-plus years, and he's nothing but a hapless individual. And it's really disgraceful. And now we're faced with a new mutation. A new China virus mutation, which, you know what, isn't it ironic that the American people for Thanksgiving said, avant-garde, up yours, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with our families as we did, and we are going to break bread, we're going to have turkey, we're going to give thanks to the Almighty God, and we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving in America. And just in time for Christmas, a new variant emerges. And Dictator Joe, a racist and a xenophobe now, has suspending flights out of to and from South Africa and seven other countries, including Zimbabwe, Botswana, Lesotho, Mozambique, Eswatini, Malawi, and Namibia. Now, Joe Biden is a xenophobe. Joe Biden is a racist. And to not allow African Americans into the United States of America is simply xenophobic and racist. You know, here it is, brain dead Biden. You know, he tweeted out a response to President Trump's actions to protect America. A wall will not stop the coronavirus. Banning all travel from Europe or any other part of the world will not stop it. This disease could impact every nation and every person on the planet, and we need a plan to combat it. Well, thank goodness that President Trump did have a plan, but you call President Trump a xenophobe. You call President Trump a racist for having the audacity to stop travel to and from China and then stopping travel to and from Europe. And what did you do? What did you do, brain dead Joe? Huh? You went ahead and canceled, now terminating travel to and from South Africa and seven other countries in Africa. Africa, primarily a country of black people. I mean, can you get any more racist than Joe Biden? Suddenly, Joe Biden has all the answers. Remember, he was the guy that was going to eradicate the China virus. Oh, but they did, because the first variant's been eradicated. And now the second variant has been eradicated. But now they got this third variant. Wear your mask. But Joe doesn't have to wear a mask when he goes out to a store. Again, he was photographed yesterday over the weekend at a business that had "you must wear a mask." And there's Joe. You know, he's banging his head around and he's got no mask on. I'll tell you, this guy is unfit to be president of the United States. He is unfit to be a chairman of a board. He's unfit to be dog catcher of the United States. Now, one other thing. Okay, so here's another. We certainly know that bumbling Biden is unfit. And in the brain-dead Biden eight-country ban, this also applies. The restriction won't apply to returning U.S. citizens or permanent residents, however, who need to test negative for the virus before traveling, the Associated Press reported. The administration is not leaving anything to chance. The excuse and justification from the left-wing media who sanitizes the bumbling Biden communist regime. Yet when President Trump implemented the travel ban to and from China, which was the source of the China virus, and not taking the initiative to control the spread of the China virus, President Trump wasn't credited for not leaving anything to chance. Yet you have the DNC media now covering for the buffoon in the White House. So on another note concerning Biden being a racist, so if Africans who are African were to submit to a China virus test and they tested negative for the China virus, Africans aren't welcomed in the United States. But if you're a U.S. permanent citizen, the U.S. citizen or a permanent resident, you need to have a negative China virus test before coming into the country. But if you're an African, and you're not a permanent resident, but if you test negative for a China virus test, you're not welcome into the country. So is Biden stating that white people have different test results for the China virus than black people? Are African COVID test results inferior to U.S. citizen test results? I mean, where are the hard-hitting, where are the questions? Why aren't they questioning this buffoon? What's the difference if you're from Germany or if you're from the United States and you test negative for a China virus? If you do your PCR test, you do your China virus test, and you're from South Africa. How does that differ from an Australian taking the same test and having a negative test result? I mean,
no difference.
Thank you. Okay. I just want to make sure I had that right.
Well, I mean, today, the Biden administration delays the vaccine mandate penalties until sometime in 2022 on judge's order. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I hope the courts continue to strike down this unconstitutional edict from the dictator in the White House. We should not have to abide by.
Right.
Go ahead.
But even if they do, the damage has already been done.
Yes, it has. People have lost their jobs.
People have lost their jobs. Does that mean they're going to be able to sue the federal government to get their jobs back? And then if they get their jobs back, what then? Then they're going to have the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. They're going to have a scarlet letter on their forehead. They're going to be treated different?
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to wear a yellow star on your jacket is what's going to happen, Al. Oh, where have we seen that before? Oh.
And then they're not even clear. What is it? The booster shot is now the COVID shot, or you have to take the original one and then two more boosters to get all caught up? And then you've got this Omicron virus, I guess, that's coming in, and now nations are rushing to close their borders. It's like they're doing it much easier now. This is all coming easier to a lot of these countries because they've been brainwashed and they're conditioned. And the people are going along with it. I walk around, I see more people with masks than I did 2 weeks ago.
I was driving back yesterday, and this guy was on the sidewalk riding his bicycle. Now, mind you, honest to God, there is a mile stretch where there are no houses. Honestly, there are no houses. It's just field. A mile. This guy is riding his bicycle with his mask on and sunglasses. Just riding. There's nobody. Al, I didn't see anybody. He was the only person I saw for 3-4 minutes. Only person I saw. I was like, really? Dude. Take your mask off. First of all, you're going to die from inhaling all that carbon monoxide. Your lungs are going to be damaged from this exertion that you're doing by pushing your, these pedals. And you're riding and there's nobody. I mean, there is nobody on either side of you except for cars traveling by you. I mean, oh my God.
Fear. It's fear.
Yeah.
Fear of what the media tells you. And they're even saying that this new strain isn't even all that, it's you can catch it, but it's the effects aren't that strong.
Yes. There were four people in South Africa who contracted the Omicron, and all four of them were vaccinated. I mean, this is incredible. It's just in time for Christmas. What is the goal of the bumbling Biden communist Kamala regime? What is the goal? The goal is to make sure that Americans don't celebrate the holidays. Last year they told us that, well, we shouldn't get together for Thanksgiving, and then you should limit to six people for Christmas, and now things are starting to open up and people are starting to get their lives and saying, the hell with what's going on. Okay. You know, I'll take my therapeutics and I know you told me if I got the shot, the vaccine, that I won't have to wear a mask. You told me if I got the booster, you know, I can get on with my life. And now you're telling me I need the vaccine. I need the booster. I need to get a fourth shot, which is another booster, which is another double dose. Okay, of the China virus vaccine, and then you're telling me I still have to wear a mask, and now I have to wear a mask inside my house. Fuck you. Okay? Unbelievable.
It's ridiculous, but people are doing it. God bless them.
I walked into Walmart. I couldn't believe the number of people who were wearing masks in Walmart. It is amazing. I couldn't believe it. Oh my God.
Well, this is kind of how you do it. It got really bad there for a little while. People started really complaining, and then things lightened up. The grip loosened temporarily, and now we're right at the bottom of the wave, and now it's starting to pick back up, and they're starting to squeeze a little bit more. People are getting a little more nervous, so now they're going to see how quickly people will go back to where they were with full masks and I guess lockdown procedures, I guess. I don't know. That's where I would take it. I'd ratchet it all the way up again and then drop it again and see how far you can get, see what you can get these people to do.
Well, sure, because they've conditioned the American people into fear. They've conditioned the fear. They've conditioned the American people to think, you know, and you know what's really bad is that they're seeing the pushback, what's happening in Australia. The people are pushing back in Italy, in Spain, you know, all across the world. People are starting to come out and saying, hell no. Now we've had enough.
Yep.
Look at what happened in New York. Even the New Yorkers were pushing back and walking across the bridge, and they were pushing back against the tyrannical, you know, communist edicts that are being put forth. People have had enough, and now you've got the reconditioning of Americans. Oh, you better wear a mask inside your house now, and we're going to combat this. So we've had 46 million Americans infected with the China virus since March of 2020. 760,000 Americans have died, not all from the China virus. Some people have had car accidents and motorcycle accidents, okay? And we've got 331 million people in America. 13.7% of the population have been infected with the China virus. And we're talking about locking down America once again. And then I just read Florida. Down in Florida, they've had a reduction. And they have some of the lowest rates of China virus contractions.
Yeah. Well, in a quick different story, an Antifa member smashes up a GOP senator's office door with an axe. They got it all on video, and they caught the guy later. He pled guilty, and then next thing you know, he was let out, and the FBI returned his axe and shoes to him.
Okay, and then the U.S. government is still has incarcerated the people who they arrested for the January 6th breaching supposed breaching of the U.S. Capitol. So we're talking about abridging the Sixth Amendment rights of the people who were arrested for January 6th, but now we have an attack, an insurrectionist who attacks a federal building, which is a U.S. A representative's office is considered a federal property, and they not only do they let the guy out, but they return his axe.
Yeah, and then all Democrats, not all, but many of the Democrat leaders in North Dakota donated to his legal defense fund after Starks was arrested, including the League Party Chairman Kylie Overson.
And who are the anti-Americans? You're telling me that Boebert is an anti-American when, in fact, the Democrat Communist Party are anti-Americans? Oh, my God. The January 6th individuals' Sixth Amendment rights have been violated by the United States government. In the meantime, this insurrectionist attacks a federal office, and he's let out within hours after committing this heinous act of insurrection against the United States government. And not only is he let out, they give him back his weapon, an axe, a weapon of death. Huh. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed to the nature and cause of the accusation. Our Amendment 6 of the U.S. Constitution and the Biden administration has abridged the January 6th, those accused of a crime on January 6th, their constitutional rights are abridged. And then they have a liberal, a left-winger, a violent arm of the Democrat Communist Party who attacks a federal office building and he's let out. This is the insanity of the Democrat Communist Party. So tomorrow night we've got the Crossing the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got Eric from Kafiristan. Wednesday you've got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. I'm sure he'll be gloating over the Iowa Hawkeyes, and he'll be giving an apology to Holger and the Minnesota Gophers. You've got Golden Gophers, excuse me. Paul Sutliff with Sutliff Report on Thursday. Paul's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. Friday, you got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, Minister Simon Dacduck and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan's back with the Crossing the Crescent, the real interfaith dialogue. He starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and Alan and I will be back on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Mamma Mia, with Mamma Mia No Sharia. Some other shows on Blog Talk Radio include G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays. And keep your prayers, G-Ski in your prayers. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio with Curtis, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. Simone Nicole Show, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. You can relieve yourself from any type of politics and on it. It's a great self-help show. Audrey Russo on Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays at AudreyRusso.com. Now, and I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Don't forget to buy your Hunter Biden original artwork here on our network.
Hey, happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends and to the friends in Israel. God bless you guys. Thank you for joining us. Be safe out there. Ciao.
That's all, folks.
Right on the numbers.
Hey. I know.
Well, that went fast.
It did. I, you know, all of a sudden it was like, I looked up and we had like 3 minutes left. It's like, what the heck's going on here? Holy cow.
I tell you, Holger is such a great caller. I wish he would do a show.
Yeah, you know, it's a great relief mechanism. And, you know, he brought up some really good points about Ilhan Omar that people, you know, you don't have a real flavor for, and you don't, you can't grasp it. And think about what he said, though. He said a no-name person of color ran against Ilhan Omar, and that person spent like $2,500, okay, and outspends Ilhan Omar. And yet Ilhan Omar has paid her husband's campaign business. He has a business for political campaigns. Her political strategist has paid him over $1 million. And you've got Ilhan Omar running against no names, who raised maybe raised $5,000, maybe. She raises $1 million plus each. Now we're talking about each campaign, and her opponents raise $5,000. And somehow, Ilhan Omar still wins, and she spends $1 million.
I'll bet you that no-name Democrat got a nice juicy check at the end of the election.
Really? Would you think she would be that dishonest? You think that she would be that
cynical? Am I that cynical?
Are you saying that Ilhan Omar would be that hold on, let me take a drink here.
Who spends only $2,500, even $5,000 for a congressional seat nowadays? Nobody, except that one trucker. He's the only exception to the rule, but that's way out there, and I can't believe that happened, world. But for a normal congressional election, you're looking at least $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. That was a state senate race.
That's just
in,
to come to the
New
party.
Jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The trucker was a state senate race.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever yeah. It was.
But still, even the state senate races, they're spending $100,000 to $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Yeah. And the congressional seat even more, as it should be.
Yeah.
Sounds like something stinks in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I mean, I remember I was talking to somebody. Maybe I was talking to Hank, and he was telling me that Nancy Pelosi dumped somewhere between $5 to $7 million in a new Democrat candidate's race to defeat John Micah, and that person was Stephanie
Murphy. Yeah, I heard about her.
So you've got Nancy Pelosi pumping $5 to $7 million into a $175,000 a year job. Now think about that. Isn't that amazing? You've got in South Carolina, the Democrat Party spent $100 million on their candidate to defeat Lindsey Graham for a United States Senate seat that pays $175,000. $100 million.
That's a lot of cash. You got to do a lot of illegal stuff to make that back.
Yeah. I mean, and just think about that. Write that number down. Write $175,000 down on a piece of paper, and then write $100 million down. $175,000. And the Democrat Communist Party, you know, dumped in over $100 million to defeat Lindsey Graham. And they didn't defeat him. But what's the purpose of spending that kind of change on a political seat? What's the purpose of that?
Especially that one. I mean, Lindsey Graham, he's already pretty much a Democrat. He's an establishment Republican. He'll go whichever way the wind blows, but he is a because he's a politician that could be bought. So you would want him there, you would think. But
yeah, just. But you know, that's the whole recklessness about the political system right now, and that's what really, I think it people are starting to really catch on to this. You know, Ilhan Omar funding her husband's business $1 million for such a safe seat that she doesn't have to spend anything but just do public appearances, and she wins that seat by, what'd you say, 70-30 at worst.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow she spends $1 million, which goes back into her family coffers, and it's no different than what Joe Biden has done over the years. You know, cutting all these deals, using his son as the front man, and of course he gets his commission. He gets his 10 grand, his 50 grand, his 10%, as you know, Crackhead Hunter said, he's got to pay the big guy 10%. So, you know, for every $1 million, he gets 100 grand that's gone in through the back door. Or they filter through it, you know, an LLC or some sort of corporation, and, you know, Joe gets his profits.
Mm-hmm.
I just, what a sordid mess we are in right now. I mean, it stinks. And then you look at these businesses who are spending $100 million for lobbying efforts. You know, lobbying, $100 million. I looked at one, some insurance company spent their budget was $100 million for lobbying. $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you got that kind of money to throw out there, then it's time. You don't need $15 an hour. For wages, you can start lowering prices altogether. I mean, this is obscene what we're seeing today. The corruption, just the buying, the payola. I mean, oh my God. Oh, it's disgusting.
Why the hell did I go into the private sector? What was I thinking?
Yeah, right?
I picked the wrong sector to work. I should have gone into government.
Could have retired nicely.
What a dummy I am. Retired, hell. Government is, boy, I continue, and then you run for office, and I want to be like the Biden family.
Jesus. Well, hey, he got paid handsomely, right? They installed him as president of the United States. I mean, that's, you know, mm-hmm. He didn't have any qualification. He wasn't qualified to be president. He wasn't electable. That certainly was a fact that we knew. You know, he tried two other times and failed, and it was caught lying in 1998. And yet he still somehow Jim Clyburn from Carolina ensured that Joe Biden would win that primary after bumbling Biden was coming in third and last in most of the primary races. Somehow, some way, shape, or form, this anemic, uninspiring individual who was in his basement was going to emerge as the front runner. And son of a gun, he did. Huh.
He's just scratching your head, that is for sure.
Unbelievable. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next week and what materializes with the victims of CARE and the comment of CARE and incestuous Ilhan Omar. It's going to be interesting.
Yep. And the mandate, the damage has already been done, so that really doesn't matter. And if you fired or quit all these doctors – oh, that was one story I didn't get to. You know what else isn't in the news is the story of that black nationalist who ran over the Christmas parade, killing, I guess, 6. Now it's up to 8 and 50 wounded. Have you seen it or heard about it really anywhere?
You know, that's something I'm glad you said. I did have a rant to cover on that one.
Yeah.
No, it is. You know what? The only news media that has covered it is the New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
And the New York Post had an interesting headline. New York Post, the November 24th headline is "Liberal Media Ignores Waukesha Christmas Parade Horror." And is that not a apropos headline for an op-ed piece that was written by someone at the New York Post?
Read it again.
Liberal media ignores Waukesha Christmas parade horror.
Yeah.
You know, the comment of care, they've not denounced it. You've got the race baiters like Al Sharpton, Maxine Waters, Sheila mm-hmm. Jackass Lee. None of the Jihad Squad members like and such as Ilhan or Rashida Mother Effa Tlaib or Anna Presley or even, you know, Alexandria Cortez, they've not commented on it. Nobody.
That's true. Well, that rant will stew for another week for sure, and it won't matter.
Oh, my
God.
A
whole lot of nothing going on with it.
Yeah. Now you said it's up to 8 people died?
I think. Don't quote me on that. I think okay. 2 more of the kids died.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know how he got out of there. He escaped. I figured the crowd would have beaten the crap out of him.
No, that's a really big. I'll tell you what. That's a fear, and Okay, so I've had some experience with Christmas parades. I think the Waukesha.
They're in shock.
I think that they. I don't think that they thought it could happen to them. And there is, from the looks of the map when I was looking at it, there are some side streets. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is keep those side streets uncovered, which is very, very possible that it could happen. Right after September 11th, I can tell you that one of the parades I was involved in, they had every street blocked. And they used dump trucks. They used big trucks. They used concrete barriers.
Smart.
And I'll tell you, I'm sure the Waukesha community was really absolutely dead shocked over this, of something like this happening. You just never think it's going to happen to you.
And total silence on it. It's,
yeah.
He was a black nationalist. They don't report it. With all the Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
False reporting. And then someone asked Rittenhouse, he said, are you going to sue? He says, my attorneys are looking into it. And that was all that he said.
I hope he does.
He ended up being a very mature kid. I mean, his media presence has been phenomenal.
Well, you know, the kid grew up fast, didn't he? I mean, he grew up absolutely fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see him breaking down and telling on the stand. I could see him breaking down. I mean, what a traumatic thing for a 17, 18-year-old to go through. You know, you just don't think you're going to go through something like that, and then you do. And then you build a – you know, you either grow up from it or you retreat. And this kid grew up from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to haul in that one guy who pulled a gun on him, got shot in the arm, blew his arm off.
Yeah.
He was a felon who shouldn't have had a gun. And then he's pulling a gun. They should have they should charge him with attempted murder, and then having an illegal weapon.
And again, silence, right?
Well, there's a lot of things that should be done that never happen. That's a depressing, very depressing. The fact that, I mean, like you said before, we've seen the media lie. We saw them lie with Russiagate for 2 years, and then they even had the government circus with Mueller. Mm-hmm. That went on from day one. And we saw them live for that, and then they just ignore this?
Yeah.
It's criminal.
It's pure hypocrisy. And it just goes to show that the whole racist narrative is all manufactured, engineered, and it's a lie. Yep. Flat out lie. You don't have to sugarcoat
it. There was no race.
That's exactly right. You don't have to sugarcoat it. You said, Al, you are absolutely correct. A lie. That's the only thing you have to the only word you have to use to describe this. It's a flat out lie.
Mm-hmm. Very depressing. Very depressing.
I don't know who's going to step up.
Basically.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know who's going to step up. And, Kevin McCarthy's name came up earlier, and I was really happy to hear that one report came out and said that Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes to be elected speaker should the Republicans take over. I was very happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of his, even though he stood up for 8 hours and spoke. I think he is a he's an establishment guy.
Agreed, 100%.
Cotton, great speaker, talks a lot. I haven't seen him do much of anything. Jay Sekulow does more than anybody with his group filing all the FOIAs.
I think you put Tom Fenton in as Speaker of the House. You don't have to be elected to be a Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe this DeSantis guy is going to be the one. Who knows?
I don't know. I'll tell you, I'm just encouraged by the fact that right now, as it stands right now, Kevin McCarthy doesn't have enough votes to be Speaker of the House. As long as Nancy Pelosi gets replaced and thrown out, and actually she should be, personally, I think she should be impeached from, she should be brought up on charges for treason. But, you know, when she's gone, let's hope that America can be saved, because she has really, her and her ilk have destroyed, really made an attempt to destroy this country. And it's sickening. And so the whole race baiting issue is a farce. It's a lie. It's a sham. And we've been hoodwinked.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wakusha.
Seems like,
Well,
it seems like with Pelosi, I guess those stories of her buying a $25 million mansion in Florida were untrue. But then I heard the deal is pending, so I don't know what's true or not on that.
Oh, really? You heard the deal was pending?
That's what I heard. So I asked the person who told me, I said, has that been confirmed anywhere? He goes, I'll get back to you on that. Never heard from him.
Ah, okay. Oh, hyperbole. I find it hard to believe that she would leave California, but then I don't find it very unreasonable for her, because she's a political partisan hack. And if it appears that Ron DeSantis is going to walk away with re-election, I wouldn't put it by her to move to Florida in time for Charlie Crist to run for governor once again. And Charlie Crist, as a member of the House of Representatives, I'm sure that that nasty Pelosi was going to find some way to pay him back and disrupt the DeSantis run for reelection as governor of Florida.
She could move here and become a kingmaker, flip Florida.
Yeah,
and
you know
California,
what?
California, she can be gone. She don't have to worry about it. But you can flip Florida.
Bingo.
That would be humongous.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who's the most despised governor in the state in the United States right now? Ron DeSantis.
Because he's the best.
Yeah.
We'll see. As the world turns.
A lot going on, man. All right.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Have a great week, and talk to you on the flip side.
Yeah. Sue, have a nice evening. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're doing well.
Hi, Sue.
And a happy belated Thanksgiving to you.
And blessings to you and prayers, your thoughts and prayers. And now I got a new mic, Al, and I guess I need to learn how to use it because I think I had the off button on when it was dead air. So I apologize for that. So.
Oh, and it cut your whole call? That's not a very good feature.
No, it just cut the sound off. So it just and I hit the wrong button. So I just got to get used to the mechanism. That's all.
Well, the audio sound was excellent. So
was it good?
Good.
Okay, that's really good to hear. Now I just got to learn how to use the damn thing.
Read the manual.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I'll wait for the movie. All right.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. All right. Have a good week.
All right. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
All right. Here we go. That's all, folks. Thank you for using Block Talk Radio.